with me this morning, second chapter of the book of Genesis, for the beginning. We kind of touched on some of these things last week. Paul and I both actually. I got thinking about this idea of death. And we see it all about us. It's going on constantly. What we think of, though, is a burying of the body. But death is not necessarily burying of the body. That is one aspect of it, all right. We plant the whole body, dead body. But death, actually, in its fullest sense, is really just a separation from life if we know it and God. If you're cut off from that which is life, then it is sheer death.
Right.
So we want to look at a couple of scripture here, second chapter in verse 16, and it said, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." This is a commandment.
Right.
"But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. In living, we're dying." And that's what he is telling Adam. In living, you're dying if you eat of this tree. And certainly, at that time, Adam's old body didn't die, but his spiritual self, we might call it a soul, but then if you look in the scripture, you find out that soul means many more things. But that's what it is. It's the soul, it's the breath of life that it is in it. And in Adam, it died.
Right.
Really, both physically and spiritually, he was dead. Completely. Although, I find, even in that though, there's a person's second resurrection, and the spirit still is somewhat alive, except it is separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
Read a little further in the 13th, third chapter, and in the 19th verse, it said, "And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So he had to do something to put life back in man, that his posterity might survive, or he would have been dead altogether then, which he was until the Lord breathed life back in. On further down, verse 22, "And he said, and the Lord said, behold, a man is become as one of us, to know good and evil." Man thought that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now he knew evil. And it unclothed it. Now he's naked.
Mm-hmm.
"And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Thou, therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So not only did he drive him out of the garden, but he separated himself from Adam. So therefore it must have been, in order to save Adam, he had to make an atonement for breaking his commandment. The commandment is simple, wasn't it?
It sure was.
We have many commandments in our day. Much more than that. And men all about us, all over this world, are thinking that they have life. But outside of commandment, and I hate this idea that God somehow is obligated to man in that he is just due to save it. All men. And they have somehow have this idea in their living, they're living in a state that their good is more than their bad. But it, you'd always got to do is break one commandment.
Right.
And it's death. So man is bound by this thing of death, which is really a pretty mysterious thing when you really get to thinking about it. Living, we're dying. We might say that there's mortal and there's immortal. Maybe immortal is not a good term for this. Maybe perpetual.
Yeah. Right.
It lives on.
Right.
The soul lives on. That's what men can't seem to understand in our day, is that they pretty much are in agreement that you'll go to the grave and maybe you'll be resurrected. And that argument's been going on forever. Well, the resurrection is past, or the resurrection is coming, but it's just unto life. That's what I mentioned the other day, that near to every funeral you go to, they want to mention something about the resurrection. But here's the question. Is it resurrection unto life or resurrection unto death?
That's right.
What I say, a perpetual separation from God, removed from all reality.
Right.
You understand, knowledge is in God also. But it looks like there's going to be a knowledge also after, in the life after. But there's still somehow it's life there. But it's not purchased with the blood.
Right. Right.
So it's continually separated. 14th chapter of the book of Job. In verse 1, it says, man that is born of a woman is a few days. Young people want to think it's a long time. It's way old. That, actually, when we're young, we just, and we're warned against that too in Ecclesiastes. Serve the Lord, you know, while you're young. But a man in his youth is more apt to think that day will never come. Well, tomorrow we're going to get up and we're going to go down and we're going to buy and sell and we're going to be back. Yeah, we can do whatever we want to. We don't really want to have no name. See, it's all up to us. But it's full of trouble.
Yes.
He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And thus thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee. Well, Job asked a pretty good question there also. He's thinking about that judgment. Now, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish his inheritance this day. For there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die and drown, yet though the scent of the water, through the scent of the water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dies and wastes away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Job was thinking about some of these same things, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Where is he?
He's trying to figure it out.
Where is he? He's wherever God has set meets and bounds for. That's the answer to it. He had it already. He knew it. But he is trying to understand.
Yeah.
So living, we are dying. Back in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, in verse 19, and it came to pass when he heard the words of this curse that he blessed himself in his heart, saying, I have peace, I shall have peace, though I walk in the imagination of mine heart, to add drunkenness to thirst. Now that's a picture of man in his natural state.
Right.
That's his nature. We talk a lot about nature, but that is his nature.
Right.
The Lord will not spare him. But then the anger of the Lord and his jealousy shall smoke against that man. And all the curses that are written in this book shall lie upon him. And the Lord shall blot out his name from under heaven. And the Lord shall separate him unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel according to all the curses of the covenant that are written in this book of the law. They won't talk about unconditional. Brother, how many conditions do you need?
Yeah.
This thing is conditioned. Where's life? This word is life. It's in the keeping of the commandments. That's where we start. Thou shalt not eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Now we've added much more. And man still thinks that he can do enough good that he's going to outweigh the balance of death.
Right.
Won't happen. So that the generation to come of your children that shall rise up after you, and the stranger that shall come from a far land shall say, when they see the plagues of the land and the sicknesses which the Lord hath laid upon it. And you know what one of these sicknesses is, and the main one is sin. That's what brought on the curse. We're talking about the curses here.
Right.
and that the whole land thereof is brimstone and salt and burning. Now, it's salt is kind of a strange thing here. It's just like it's rubbing in the wound. And it's burning. Just keeps on burning. Doesn't let up. That it is not sown, nor buried, nor any grass groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Admah, and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. But they probably don't. They said, "Will it build us a God?" And that's what men continue to do. Even all nations shall say, "Wherefore hath the Lord done thus unto this land? What meaneth the heat of this great anger?" Do you know that they have the answer to that in their bosom also?
True.
Then men shall say, "Because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods whom they knew not, and that he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land to bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger." What did this sound like? Go all the way back to the garden.
Right.
Yeah, put him out.
So,
set up a flame and sword there. The cherubim to keep the way.
Right.
Man think he's just going to enter into it because he decides to. Can't do it. That old sword, I've thought about it a lot of times. It looks like it's just squirting with that fire. It's what man can't get past.
No. Never.
And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law, which brings life, but man can't do it. It's always there. You know, that's what's an amazing thing. I don't care how vain and vulgar the land is, that law is always there. And men won't do away with it. No wonder. No wonder. No wonder we'd like to get away from that. Book of Ecclesiastes. The 12th chapter. Now I'll go to the 8th chapter. 8th chapter, Book of Ecclesiastes. Verse 60, because, he said, "Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the measure of man is great upon him."
Right.
He knows there's meets and bounds. You can talk to anybody on the street and they say, "Man, I almost had a wreck today that killed me, but I guess it just wasn't my time."
Right.
He said, "For he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be?"
Right.
"There's no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. neither hath he power in the day of death, and there's no discharge in that war.
Right.
Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. It's death outside of God.
Right.
It's absolutely sure.
Right.
Now, you don't claim promise? Mm-hmm. Folks want to do that all the time.
Right.
Better watch out what you claim.
Mm-hmm.
This may be the promise. It'll always be delivered to it. And then in the 12th chapter, and we'll always marvel at this. Verse 5, he said also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire fail. I have to kind of judge myself with these things.
Right.
They've gotten worse.
Yeah.
They're getting increasingly worse.
Oh, wow.
Every time I groan and get up in the morning.
Yeah.
Because man goeth to his long home. Now, what is he talking about, a long home? That's it, isn't it?
Amen.
In living, he's going to be dying.
Mm-hmm.
The soul of man lives on. But it's cut off. Isn't that something? Going to his own home, and the mourners go about the streets. Just same way, all the same old thing.
Same over and over.
And over and over. Keep going in tune. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. All these things will just cut you off. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God to get it.
Right.
And then verse 8 said, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity in this life. And it will be cut off.
Yeah.
Rope's gonna break its cistern, bucket's gonna drop,
yeah.
Cord's gonna be cut, lamp's gonna fall, all the lights gonna go out of it.
Yeah.
In the book of Romans, 8th chapter. Some picture of this. That's 8th chapter, verse 6, he said, for to be carnally minded is that the things of this world are always decaying.
Yes.
And if a man be carnal, he is dead.
Right.
Not waiting.
Right.
Not waiting, it's already. He's dead. He's dead. Now, the only good part about this, so he said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Right.
Man seeking peace continues.
Yeah.
Always looking for some peace. Need to lay down and rest. Always weary. There's much trouble.
Yeah.
That's what we just read about. There's much trouble. And it goes on and on and on. But the only place to find peace and rest is in the Lord Himself.
Right.
And men somehow think that even after this physical death, that there's somehow, God couldn't be that angry.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we're going to live on. And they understand these things, really.
Yes.
But Adam understood he wasn't supposed to go eat of that tree. But he did it anyway because he is seeking something higher in himself.
Yes.
And men haven't changed a bit. They're doing the same thing. In Revelation, the 20th chapter, and we'll finish this up. Maybe kind of morbid morning. But there's still hope and there's still life. But you know where I think it is? It's in the first resurrection.
That's right.
And I don't believe it's talking about when the Lord comes back.
No.
I believe man must be resurrected now. That's the first resurrection. In verse 16, let me get on the right page here. Verse 6, he said, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection."
Mm.
Now, not all people would agree with me here. I know. But I believe that first resurrection is the one that's necessary.
Yes. Right.
If a man doesn't receive life in this life,
right,
he's not going to receive any life in the next life.
Right.
On such, the second death has no power.
Amen.
He won't be separated from God. He'll be united to him in this life. We talked last week about sitting in heavenly places. Unless you can sit in heavenly places in this life, you won't be sitting them in the next.
Right.
And the soul never dies.
Amen.
But that's the bad part about this
right.
Second resurrection.
Right.
Because it'll either be resurrected unto life, which is in Christ Jesus, or it be cut off for all eternity.
Right.
And the salt will be there just rubbing it on you.
Right.
But they shall be priests, they that the second death doesn't have any power over now.
Right.
Shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, I don't know exactly what this 1,000 years is. If I ever meet a man that knows, it'd be something. I do know it's a space of time. I do know this. That this is talking about the resurrection unto eternal life in this life.
Mm-hmm.
And our days are numbered and the meets and bounds are set.
Yeah.
We don't have any control over it. And there's, you know, except to call upon the name of Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, for life, and eternal salvation might be found.
Amen.
Well, for sure, there's a lot of controversy over what that 1,000 years is, but I think I can safely say that it's not a literal 1,000 years. I do think, though, that we can say this, that it represents that life which is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter if you die, you're still going to reign with him in life. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the body dies, that's so what? You're going to reign with him. Really, I think that 1,000 years represents forever and ever. It's another one of those perpetual things. But that is an amazing thing that very few people think of or consider. I think we talked about that Thursday night a little bit, didn't we?
Yep.
That the soul, in a sense, lives on. And I think maybe that's a good description, that it's perpetual. But there's no immortality to it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's going to exist, it's not immortal.
Right.
People don't understand what that immortality is, because that immortality is linked to righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a word for that. It's called ad eternum. It means of a long duration, and there's no, it has a beginning but no ending.
Yes. So it's a serious thing that we can say that with assurance. I was thinking, you're talking about these people that want to balance it out. They've got more good than they do bad. But what they don't realize is that even the prayer of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord.
Yeah.
They ain't no good in a person that has not partaken of that first resurrection. Mm-hmm. There is no good in them. Period. There's nothing to balance out there. So we ought to think about that death. People ought to, but they put it far off, you see. As the scripture says, they put it far off, like it's never going to come. We think about these little ones, like Jolene and Joanne and even Jodell and Joey. And we look at them and we think, whoa, death is a long ways off for them. Well, how do you know? It may be today, maybe tomorrow. As you read in Ecclesiastes, nobody can tell that. It's just not there. But it's one thing that we as parents, I think, too, sometimes we don't think about that. We think our children are going to grow up and, that's long ways down the road. But no. Until and unless they are made to hear God and be able to discern the glory of God, they're dead already. And the only chance they've got of being made alive is for the Lord to give them of His Spirit, and then through the hearing of the Word.
Preaching of the gospel.
He will give them life. They'll have life. But, it's just a marvel that man thinks, oh, well, I don't need to hear the Word. Don't you?
Every day.
Every day.
Right. But just need to believe.
Yeah. Every day that we live. And we need, our children need to hear that word.
Just make up their mind, they could be saved.
Yeah. If they could. If they would.
They won't.
But they won't do it. And we all know that. Those of us right here, we ought to know that better than anybody on the face of the earth. Because we've already been through that. And we knew what our attitude was. So why do we expect to be different than somebody else?
Who's made you the difference?
Sir?
Who has made you the difference?
Who has made you the difference?